We're in Ephesians 3. Last week of the year, we got a building seminar on how to construct a building. A stone building, especially a temple. And for a stone temple, you needed a large stone cornerstone for your structure. And Paul tells us Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is our building block upon our lives. And Paul wants us to understand that we are built upon Jesus and the great work he did on the cross for us. And Jesus wants us to know basic truth about Christianity. We Christians must understand that our salvation, this new covenant that we are in, that Jesus and the cross are essential. And Paul, he doesn't grow tired of pointing out that Jesus is our foundations. So as we move through chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul will continue his foundational writings. So let's look at the first 7 verses of chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written about, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I became a minister, according to the gift of grace of God given to me by an effective working of his power. Paul, he writes to the Ephesians, and he wants them to know that he is an apostle to the Gentiles by the will of God. Paul says, know this, I'm not only an apostle, I am a prisoner for you Ephesian Gentiles. And upon being a prisoner, I'm in Rome's custody. And if you were a Roman prisoner, they didn't have prisons per se. You were watched over by a guard, and your friends were to support you for as your eating. If you wanted something to eat, you had to have friends that would bring you something to eat. And at nighttime, you would be rechained to your Roman guard. Now, Roman guards did not have many escapees. For if you allowed a prisoner to escape, you paid the price of that prisoner. You were held liable. If he was on a capital offense, then you suffered a capital offense if you were his guard. Paul also understood his being a prisoner was for the benefit of the Gentiles. And Paul would write the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, etc. And he would talk about the hardships that would come upon him. Now, when hardships and trials come upon me, and I'm just like you, my first prayer is usually, Lord, help me get out of this mess. Now, back in the early 90s, we had sold our ranch on the river for a good profit, and we had purchased a 20-acre almond orchard. But that was not large enough to support us, so we bought another 46-acre almond ranch, and now we're up to the point we can't afford the payments. So I go off to the Federal Land Bank, and I said, I need you to consolidate our loans and bring them together and make them more tolerable. And so these two bank executives set up a meeting for our house. Now, I had made this issue a priority in prayer issue. I desperately needed a new loan. And the Lord gave me a peace about the whole process, about this meeting with the land bank. So this meeting came, and I had to listen for about a half hour about how I did not qualify for a new loan. That's always good to hear. But I let him talk on, and finally one of the bankers said, okay, let's figure this out and make a loan work. And I said, all right, I'm for that. And all I had to do was answer their questions and watch the Lord do the work. And he moved on their hearts to give me a new loan. A few years later, we sold both of those ranches and came here to Alabama to plant this lovely Calvary. But the Lord showed me in that he was trustworthy. He was worthy of me putting my hope and trust in him. So the selling of the ranches allowed Lori and I to survive as the church grew, and it began. You know, in the first few years, it was not able to give me a salary, but we had sold the ranches for a profit. So financial troubles can be very real at times. And there's a principle here for me, there was. Give faithfully to God, and he will supply all your needs. So Paul writes, and he says, I am a prisoner for you Gentiles. But Rome was where he was being held prisoner. And Paul fully realized why he was held prisoner by Rome. One of those reasons, he wrote the prison epistles. And that's been a great blessing to all of us Christian believers. Now, Paul writes in verse 2 of our text today, you Gentiles have heard of the grace of God given to me for you. Now, Paul is being used of the Lord to spread salvation to Gentiles. Now, I'm not a young man anymore, and I'm aware of my age. And sooner or later, there will be a replacement if the Lord so fits. But as of now, you got to put up with me. That's just the way it is. And for me to realize my calling as a pastor, I didn't call myself into ministry. In fact, I never desired to be a pastor. I didn't mind working for a living. So just bear with me as I carry on. And Paul had a true love for his fellow Jews. But where did God call him? God called him to the Gentiles. In fact, Paul is under arrest. He is a prisoner in Rome because he was in the Jewish temple and he was trying to persuade his Jewish of the comfort that can come from Jesus making him Messiah, and they wouldn't have anything to do with it. They rioted, and a Roman centurion had to come down and save his life. But Paul, he made it known that the mystery of Jesus was for all people, not just the Jews. And so Paul begins to open a door for Gentile believers. Paul began to preach a message that Gentiles could hear and be part of God's kingdom. And along with the Jews, there is only one body of Christ. And the mystery of the church at that time were Gentiles are also to be partakers in the promises of Christ. And Paul's message, it was revolutionary to the Jewish believers because they felt like they were God's chosen, and the law manifested that chosen people. But through the gospel of Christ, all men have an equal standing before God. He's not a respecter of persons. But the early Jewish believers found it difficult to accept Jesus as total Messiah, difficult to believe that he was all that you needed. And many of the Judaizers of that time, Jewish believers, wanted Gentiles to obey the Jewish law or the Mosaic law. Jesus, when he chose his disciples, they were all Jews, working class Jews, fishermen, etc. And Jesus amazed his Jewish disciples with his teachings. It took them a while to accept him as God. But one of his teachings was, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, no eternal life. You're not going to get to heaven by being like the Pharisees. And this shocked. This was a real wake-up call to his disciples. But it wasn't Paul alone. For Paul had a contemporary named Peter. And Peter was called to the Jews. He was an apostle to the Jews. And it's a similar timeline that's going on here. And Paul and Peter are contemporaries. But we will talk about Peter and his vision that was given to him by God. There was Cornelius, a Roman centurion, in Acts 10. And Cornelius has a vision. Cornelius is told, send for Simon Peter, and Peter will tell you what you must do. Cornelius, he's obedient to the vision, so he sends two of his servants to Joppa looking for Peter. So turn to Acts chapter 10, and we'll read about this vision that Peter saw. Acts 10, and we'll start in verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Notice, first of all, that Peter, he's on a rooftop, and he becomes hungry. He is up there praying, and while he's waiting for breakfast to be prepared, Peter says he fell into a trance here. He sees a vision, and he sees heaven open to him, and a great sheet, bound at the four corners, descends down to him. And in this sheet were all kinds of animals, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds, many of those forbidden for a Jew to eat. And a voice came forth, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Peter replies, not so, Lord. And that's an oxymoron. An oxymoron is you can't call Jesus Lord and then dispute against what he says you're to do. You can't do that. Peter goes on, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Or, Lord, I have obeyed the Jewish eating habits all my life. And the voice spoke a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this vision and the word from the Lord was repeated three times. And Peter realized there is more to this vision than eating habits. Got to give Peter credit there. He saw beyond the issue of just eating different foods. So let's continue with verse 17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision meant, he had seen and he behold the men who were had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and hear words from him. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Peter understands, but he's wondering what this vision meant. And then the servants from Cornelius, they arrive at his place there at Joppa, and they're he's wondering why they're there. And Peter is told, arise, go with these Gentiles, doubting nothing. That's the Lord's way of saying, do it. And the Lord declares to Peter, I have sent them. Cornelius' servants relate to Peter how Cornelius was divinely instructed by a holy angel to come and get Peter. And why is Peter wondering about this vision? What's troubling you, Peter? And Peter, he knows there's more to this vision than food. Gentile lives are involved. And Cornelius is waiting for Peter. Peter speaks of how unlawful it was for a Jewish man to go into the house of another non-Jew. Peter's trying to say, hey, I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile, I'm not even supposed to come into your house. But Peter puts this vision into proper perspective and give Peter credit there. He realized God is talking to him about more than dietary issues. God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter has had God reveal to him, Gentiles are not common or unclean. And that was a big thing to a Jew. Gentiles are also to be saved and be born again. And this message was delivered to Cornelius by the apostle to the Jews, not the Gentiles. Peter was an apostle to the Jews. And Peter opens his mouth and declares, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality of persons. And we Gentiles are grateful for that. We Gentiles had a door of salvation opened to us by a vision to a Jewish apostle. And God makes it very plain. Jesus, his son, is Savior to all, Jew and Gentile. Our Lord is not a respecter of persons. And that's a good thing for us Christians of today to remember. We can put people into categories, but look where the Lord is moving. He's moving greatly in the Islamic world. He's given them visions of himself. He's not restricting himself to the Jews only, or even to Christian America only. So we say, thank you, Lord. It's been said that Iran is going through a revival. Iran? Iran is supposedly one-third are Islamic, one-third are, you might say, atheistic, no beliefs, and one-third is Christian. Iran. And God is moving there in and of himself, for he is sovereign and he's not a respecter of person. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for your fairness, for your love to us. So let me get you to stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, here we are, beginning a new year. And Lord, we live in a world that's a troubled world. There's war in the Ukraine. There's war in Israel. And nation is against nation. But yet you're not restricted. You still reach out to mankind, not willing that any should perish, Lord. And so we give you thanks for that. And Lord, may we, your people, be open to any and all moves that by your Spirit that you make, Lord. Don't let us be a hindrance in any way to a person receiving you as Savior. We want to be about you and your kingdom, Lord. We desire, Lord, that you would use us to reach others. So may our testimony be true. May it be of you in your love of man. May we be quick to share the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, to do that. So be with us. We got a whole new year in front of us. Let us be about you and your kingdom, Lord, in all that we say and do. And we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.